Hey, everybody, it's Doug Schaff with RE/MAX Oceanside at MakeManYourHome.com. And this week's episode of the Make Man Your Home podcast, I'm going over to see Casey Hamlin. He's kind of a regular on this show, but I wanted to talk to him about a few things. I want to talk to him about interest rates, where they are now, where they're heading, things like that. I'd love to talk to him about, because I know interest rates are coming down a little bit, or they have come down, is it a good time to refinance, you know, and when is a good time to refinance, and how does that process go? And then we're also going to kind of talk about if it's a good time to sell. So it's kind of like a should you refi or should you sell type episode. So anyway, let's go see Casey Hamlin. Let's do this. All right, everybody, I made it over to see Casey Hamlin with North Point Mortgage. Welcome back, buddy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for always coming on the show. It's fun. We're just going to kind of chat about a few things. You know, I'd love to talk about interest rates, where they are, where they're heading, or at least where we think they're heading. I know that they've come down a little bit, or, you know, at least they have over the last few months, maybe coming back up a little bit. But anyway, we'll talk about that. But, you know, is it a good time to refinance and how do you go about doing that? We'll touch on that. And then we'll talk a little bit about the differences between if you should refi or if you should sell, you know, which one maybe you should go on.
Yeah.
That sound good?
Yeah, sounds great.
You good to go?
Let's do it.
Fired up? All right. Let's chat about interest rates. What's been happening, man? This year has been interesting with real estate, interest rates.
Yeah, it has.
There was talk about them going up, and then all of a sudden they came back down. Can you give us a kind of like the quick story of what happened? Why did they come back down? What are you hearing?
Well, you know, when you think interest rates, a lot of people think the Fed rate, right?
Yeah.
They have a lot of information. They see the news about the Fed and the Fed's, you know, the Fed's predicting this, and then the Fed cuts the rates, and it means that interest rates have dropped and so forth. And while there is some truth to that, it's not interest rates for mortgages are not predicated on what the Fed does necessarily.
Right. You must get a ton of calls when there's news about the Fed rate.
Because
that's what they say in the news. Interest rates have come down. Yeah. You know, and that's always like the big thing.
Absolutely. And so it's good for, you know, it's good for the consumer that has a car loan, that has a home equity line, that has a personal loan, that even you know, just any type of short-term loan in credit cards.
Right.
It's good for the consumer. They're going to see a reduction in interest rate right away when those interest rates drop.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
But with mortgages, they operate a little bit differently.
Okay.
Right. And mortgages are more affected. And first off, so when the Fed says the Fed drops the rate with the mortgage industry, that has already been predicted months ahead of time.
Oh, right? Interesting.
Because when the Fed meets, they release, do a press release, and in that press release, they talk about what their intentions are with rates.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And what they forecast will happen. So when they say, "Hey, we plan to drop interest rates this year," that's already been built in months ahead of time to the mortgage rate that the consumer are getting now.
Okay, gotcha.
All right. So that's one. Two is the economy and what's happening in the economy has a day-to-day impact on interest rates for mortgages.
Right.
More than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, lately there was a trade war with China.
Mm-hmm.
In the last couple of weeks, there was kind of an agreement between U.S. and China.
Okay.
And what that did, the day the agreement came out, mortgage rates went up about 0.25% that day.
I remember that. Yeah. We had a couple issues there.
I mean, it's really difficult. Those are tough conversations to have with people because, you know, you quote somebody something a couple days before, weeks before, and then they come back to you, they're interested in property, and you have to say, hey, interest rates are up 0.25%.
Sure. Which of course changes their payment and you know, and all that stuff. Okay.
So, you know, so there's everyday movement. I've seen them change up to 5 times in one day. So, you know, what we tell people is once they're under contract or once they're close to going under contract, reach out to us. We'll give them an idea what the current market rate is.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they go under contract, then they're going to have the option of locking in.
Right.
Or if we think there may be a possibility they get better, then we'll try to give them some guidance there.
Okay.
And try to get that lower rate should it happen and lock in then.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So, you know, the takeaway is with interest rates is predicting them is difficult. I tell people all the time, it's like trying to predict the stock price of some company.
Right. It's funny. I was just about to say, and I'm biting my tongue, like I was just about to say, like I've heard people talking about, oh, they're going to start going up next year. But we've been saying that for like 4 years.
Yeah.
So I'm just not doing it anymore. I'm going to wait until you call me and say, hey, the interest rates are up.
Yeah. I know you should, because it makes sense. I've been kind of pessimistic about the whole thing and thinking that they would, you know, they were artificially low for so long with the federal government being involved, trying to
keep seems them. Like they have to go up.
Yeah. So it's like at some point you're like, man, the ride has got to end at some point.
Right.
You know, but thankfully, I'm wrong.
They're staying low. Right. So, well, I think a lot of people have. I've heard tons of people, national people, that have talked about interest rates are going up. They're going up, and then they never do, and now they're back down. Right. So, whereabouts are we at this point? You know, mid-November.
So mid-November rates, what we saw is, like I said, is I think the issue with China and all that was a couple weeks ago. We saw an increase in the rate.
Mm-hmm.
But up until then, we were at 3-4 year lows for interest rates. Since then, this week, they've kind of come back down. So to give somebody an idea, I would say like on a 15-year loan, the rates are in the low threes.
Okay.
All right. And then on a 30-year fixed, interest rates are in the high threes.
Okay.
And
but still under four, which is amazing.
Yeah. And, you know, and full disclosure, that's based off of certain criteria, certain property types.
Property types, credit history, all that kind of stuff.
It's very situational.
Right, So say, if somebody wants an idea of what they can get, of course they should call you and discuss that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So now let's jump right into kind of like, you know, maybe there's people sitting there, they hear the news like, hey, home prices are up and interest rates are down.
Right.
You know, should I refi or should I move on? You know, that type of thing. Of course, you know, this would be kind of like that love it or list it type show. Yeah. You know, I want them to move on, of course. You know, you want them to refi. You know, but no, let's talk about refinancing first, because we don't talk about this a lot.
Yeah.
But whenever interest rates come down, I know that all you lenders are like, holy crap, I'm like swamped. I'm getting tons of calls.
Yeah.
So is it a good time right now to look at refi, and who should be looking at a refi? You know,
it's a good question. So yes, I do feel it is a good time to look at a refinance. And here's why is a year ago this month, interest rates on a 30-year fix were 5.25 or around that.
That's right.
All right.
So if anybody was bought even just a year ago, and they can get under four at this point in time, that's a great deal.
If you bought in 2018, especially the second half of 2018,
mm-hmm.
you probably stand to save yourself a couple hundred dollars a month in a refinance.
Okay. So if any of my clients that bought in 2018, if you haven't refied yet, call Casey.
The other side of that is the real estate market has done really well, even since last year. So if for those people that if you have to get an appraisal, good chance that you won't have an appraisal issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, I got you.
Because the market's improved,
right?
Generally, you know, and you know, that's really. I mean, if you had PMI in your payment and you wanted to get rid of that,
okay,
you know, that might be a situation.
Yeah, so the appraisal might be able to jump you up enough to get rid of that. Okay,
yeah.
So you could really decrease your monthly payment considerably.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we see it quite a bit.
Yeah, interesting. So what's the process on refining? Because obviously all I know is like, you know, I got a client who wants to buy a house and I say, okay, here you go.
Yeah.
But like if I'm sitting there thinking, hey, I want to refi, I know honestly it's as easy as just calling you. You'll walk us through it.
Right.
But what's the general idea? Do you have to get an appraisal and all those same things? Or?
So the process is pretty simple. It's, you know, what most people don't understand is that like with closing costs, everything can be rolled into the loan on a refinance,
mm-hmm.
which is different. When you buy, you typically have to pay the closing costs out of pocket or maybe get the seller to kick in or something like that.
Right.
Okay. With refinancing, you typically can roll in the closing costs. So what that does is it alleviates, you know, it alleviates you coming up with a lot of money, thousands of dollars, so to speak, where, you know, the out-of-pocket expense you have is an appraisal.
Okay.
Right. So,
runs about what, $600-$700?
You're talking, we quote $550.
Okay.
And I think they were one of the more competitive costs for that.
Okay.
But anyway, so yeah, so really it's there's an appraisal involved. You know, what we do is we take the application, we order an appraisal, put it through the finance process. Some people don't have to have an appraisal based on the risk of their application and where the property is located, if there's a lot of supporting data okay. on the values. So that's always nice to be able to avoid all costs out of pocket.
Right. Yeah, that's right. I've been seeing those waived appraisals on even when people are buying a place now. Okay, so that's interesting. So you might be able to get around that.
Yeah, you might be able to avoid an appraisal cost.
Okay.
And so the only way you know is by applying, unfortunately, because it's a measurement of the overall risk of the application.
Right.
So
because it's not just the property, it's the risk of the person as well.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think I remember you and I talked about that the other day.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's pretty easy. It really is. And then
how long of a process is it? Is it like, I know I usually tell people who are buying, 30 to 45 days, that's the typical response. Is that the same with a refi? Or?
I would say it might be a little bit more than that as a lender, our philosophy is simple. Is like, if you're buying a house, we don't want you to miss your close date.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
That's really important because, we don't want to, you've got things planned, you've got movers, you've got all the, you've got a big life change ahead of you. So making that close date is super important.
Yeah.
So if we have, if we have a bunch of purchase transactions that we're handling, we have a bunch of refinance transactions we're handling.
Yeah.
We'll always prioritize the purchase transaction, make sure that they're taken care of first.
Yeah. Yeah. And that makes sense.
Yeah. As long as it's not, doesn't.
And anybody refining, they probably understand that.
I hope so.
For the most part.
I hope so.
If you're refining, understand that.
Unless they say, hey, there's a specific reason we need to get this done in a certain amount of time.
Right.
Which happens if that's
you'll jump,
that's
you'll
the case,
jump on.
Then we'll make sure that we make that work. But generally speaking.
Okay. So on a refi, you're probably looking more towards the 45-day, that type of thing. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Okay. So I think that answers that. Anything else on refis?
Well, I think based on the question of does it make sense to refinance versus sell?
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking to sell anytime soon, so when people call us, I always say, well, what are your plans?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Because does it make sense from a cost perspective?
I mean, if we save somebody a couple hundred bucks a month. So that's $2,400 a year, but it costs them, let's say it costs them $4,000 to refinance.
Right.
So they've got to have that loan for 2 years to make that cost back.
Right. Makes sense.
And if they say to me, hey, we're probably going to sell in a year.
There's no reason.
Then we would advise against that.
Right.
Yeah.
That's when you say you should call Doug.
That's when I say
you should call
you. Right.
Right.
Well, I mean, we'd be doing them a disservice and adding to what they owe.
Right.
Not to let them, not to have them recoup it.
Yeah.
So
that makes perfect sense. Okay.
So there's just a piece to that that's important for a consumer to think about.
Right. Okay.
That sort of stuff.
Well, then kind of transitioning into like the sell side, which I'll talk about a few things here real quick. But then we got kind of the other side of selling is, of course, you need to buy something. So we'll in a minute, we'll kind of talk about how that whole transition works. But from a sell side, I just wrote down a couple quick notes here, like, is it a good time, and what's happening with values? First off, it is still a great time to sell, at this point. It really is. And I'm sure you've heard it from all the brokers you work with, too. It's inventory is very low. Buyer demand is still very high. And I even recommend, if you are considering, even refinancing or just anything, I can help sometimes to come in and give you a value on the property. And that'll help you kind of... decipher what your next move is. That's usually the first step. Call and say, hey, what's my house worth?
Yeah.
You can go through the appraisal process, but you could always just call me and get a general idea of it.
Yeah.
And the other thing that we were talking about before we started this was I'm also going to be able to give you a what we call a net sheet. We've talked a lot about this, where it's going to break down, if we sold it for X, how much do you owe on your mortgage? What are the commissions? What are your closing costs? And this is exactly what you're going to pull out of it, or close to, you know, all the cash that you're going to get. And that might kind of help you decide, like, hey, is it ready to make a move, or do I just refi and stay here for, you know, 10, 20 years or whatever your plan is?
Right.
You know, that's kind of the first step, but the first steps in selling. I could talk all day about, you know, what I do to market your house and all that stuff, but there's other podcasts you can watch on that,
right.
You know.
Sure.
But overall, I think it is still a great time to sell. And all that. But again, coming back to, it's a good time to sell, but obviously you got to live somewhere.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's usually the big problem with some people.
That's the biggest fear.
Right. It's the biggest fear. How do I find a house? You know, can I afford the move? You know, that kind of thing. You know, can you find a house? I always say, absolutely. I can find anybody a house. You know what I mean? Just because you're not seeing a lot online, we can find you something.
What do you mean by that?
I have a few strategies that I can help people find something, you know, that's not on the market. Like,
okay.
If people are like, hey, I want to be in this specific neighborhood, I'll go knock on doors. I'll go send out postcards.
You literally will go knock on doors.
Literally, yeah.
Wow. That's impressive.
I have this wonderful client that I bring pictures of him. No, I'm just kidding. but no, I'll go knock on doors. I do phone campaigns, postcards, you know, try to get them in that neighborhood. And the other resource that I have is just being plugged in with other brokers, you know, like, hey, what do you got coming? You know what I mean? And a lot of times I can find a house that way. So there's definitely ways to find a house. It's just, like you said, that fear of getting that going.
Right, right.
And, the other issue, though, is when you're moving, is to be a more attractive buyer. Could you buy a house without selling your current? You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
You and I talk about that a lot.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So maybe we can touch on that a little bit. Like, there's somebody out there maybe watching this saying, hey, I'd like to move, but, you know, I can't find anything. And obviously, when I say a more attractive buyer, because, like, if they're looking at a house and there's five bids on it and they have a house to sell and it's contingent on that, the sellers of this house is going to say, no, you know what I mean?
Right.
I'm not going to deal with that.
Right.
You know? So what do you look at when a consumer has a house to sell?
Right.
Do you have to be able to justify income, debt ratio, like all that
sure.
kind of stuff? How does all that work?
Well, so when we sit with them, well, you know, one of the things that we do is from a consultation standpoint, say, well, if you have to sell to buy, we know that that's going to put you at a disadvantage if you're in a multiple offer situation. Now, we're not we don't play realtor, so we don't, you know, we don't strategize on that stuff other than to say, let's look to see if there's a possibility where you could remove that contingency to have to sell to buy, help strengthen your offer. And then let's figure a way to try to get you back to where you would have been had you sold and then bought.
Right.
Like payment-wise.
Yeah.
And so what we do is we look at two things, essentially. We talk to them about what's called a recast, which is basically this. So if you were to sell a house, or if you needed to sell the house to buy, but we could qualify you to carry both payments.
Right.
All right.
So you do have to fully qualify to carry both payments. That's the hard part.
Because that's the worst case scenario for the lender.
Right.
Right. And so we got to make sure we can't put you in a situation where you fail that.
And not everybody can, but there are people out there that can. Yeah.
Well, maybe there's good incomes, low debt. It's just all the money seems to be tied up in the house.
And right.
That's the way it is.
Yeah.
That's where this is really works well for people. So,
right. So
basically what we do is we'll do a loan for them to buy the next property. And then we coach them on how to recast the payments. So what that means is they, after they sell their current house, they would put the proceeds or put a principal payment down on what they owe.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be a certain amount of money. There is a little bit of a cost involved. But what we'll do is we will recalculate the payment for them.
Okay.
As if they had sold and then bought.
Right, as if they put all that money down originally.
Originally.
Oh, okay.
Correct.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
So they can get to where they want to be.
Right.
All right. A little bit more, you know, there's a little bit more trickiness to that. But,
sure.
But it really works well for people. So, you know, they get the house they want.
Right.
You know, that's ultimately what we're trying to help them do.
Right. Because that scenario to me is the best. Like whenever I'm talking with someone, I was like, look, talk to Casey. If you can, on paper, if you can buy a house without selling it, doesn't mean you're not going to sell your house. You just got to qualify for it. But a lot of people can't. And usually the conversations I have is it's actually better. The second runners up is sell the house. Come up with a temporary solution.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. Or get the house under contract. You know,
and what would a temporary solution be?
Well, like when I say sell the house, like literally close on it, get your cash, put all your stuff in storage, and if you got a family member locally, go stay with them. Right. You know what I mean? Maybe rent something, take your time to find your next house. You know what I mean? So
correct me if I'm wrong. Would it be a possibility for that seller to rent back from the new owner?
Yes. And that has happened. That's I never want to guarantee it because that's like a unique, you know, situation. Sure. I have pulled it off. And I've even marketed houses that way. Like, you know what I mean? In the internal remarks that just brokers see, I'll be like, hey, this person needs to live here for, you know, 30 days after, you know, or to whatever.
Right.
And a lot of time or sometimes that can work. Wow. I never want to guarantee it, of course, because you got to find that right buyer.
Right.
But yes, it can happen. But if you can sell it, get your cash, find a temporary, like stay at a relative's, whatever, and then we find you a house, that's a good situation. The other thing is even just getting your house under contract helps, you know, even though you make it contingent.
Right.
But at least it's under contract. So when you put in your offer, you can say, yeah, it's contingent on me selling my house, but it's already under contract. It's already through inspections. It's, you know, that's done.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's
take a lot of the worry out for the seller.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Like the seller of the new home.
The seller of the new home. So it's kind of like, your best bet is if you can afford to do it, you know, get qualified without selling your house.
Right.
And then runners up is coming up with those other solutions.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
That makes sense.
Yeah. So anyway, we got off on a little tangent there. That wasn't even on my notes. That was good stuff, man.
Nice.
So I think we're good, right?
Yeah.
Anything else you want to throw out there?
No, I think we covered it.
Nice. All right, guys, hopefully this was helpful. If you got any questions, comment below. Send me an email, Casey an email. Give us a call, text, carrier pigeon, whatever you want to do. And remember, if you're going to make Maine your home, you don't have to do it alone. Hey everyone, thank you for listening to the Make Maine Your Home podcast. If you enjoyed it, please be sure to subscribe to it, rate it, and of course share it. You can also check out the video version on my YouTube channel at youtube.com/makemaineyourhome. I also want to give a special shout out to Portland Podcast. They're Maine's first podcasting studio. I dump all these files right in their lap and, you know, they're able to make it happen with ease. So thanks to them. And thanks again for listening. Have a great day and we'll see y'all soon.